Sloop of War, written by Alexander Kent and read by Michael Jaston.
Part 1, 1778. Chapter 1, The Most Coveted Gift. It was little more than 100 yards walk from the busy foreshore to the elegant white building at the top of the coast road, but within a minute of leaving the launch, Richard Bolitho was damp with sweat. In the broad expanse of English Harbour, there had been an illusion of a breeze, but here, as the noon sun stood high above Monk's Hill and bathed the island of Antigua in a shimmering haze, there was no such comfort. Nevertheless, Bolitho quickened his pace, conscious of his rising excitement and a sense of unreality, which had been with him since his arrival just a week earlier. Events had moved so fast that he felt unable to keep a grip on them, as if he was a spectator watching somebody else, a being quite alien to his own resources. Through wide gates, the sand and dust covering his new shoes with a pale layer, and across some well-tended gardens towards the building itself. But for the flag which hung limply from its staff, it could have been the residence of some rich merchant or shipowner. From the number of negro servants who were working amidst the flowers and shrubs, he guessed that the previous occupant had probably been a dealer in African slaves. Within the deep porch it felt almost cold after the sun's fierce glare, and he found himself confronted by a red-faced sergeant of marines, who, after a cursory glance which covered Bolitho from top to toe, said, "If you will step into this room, sir." His tone, if not offhand, was that of a man so used to dealing with the comings and goings of sea officers that he could no longer be excited by anything or anyone. Bolitho entered the small room and heard the door slam behind him. For the first time since he could recall, he was quite alone. Alone and poised on what might be the most important step in his life. He made himself walk very slowly to the window and stood looking down at the harbour spread below him like some great painting. English Harbour. The headquarters and linchpin of England's sea power in the Indies and Caribbean. Every type of ship seemed to be here. Stately two-deckers in the deep anchorage, their awnings spread, and every gun port open to catch the merest breath of air. Lithe frigates and supply vessels, and a whole collection of smaller craft, from brigs to schooners, between which countless oared boats plied back and forth like water beetles. Somewhere in the building a man shouted loudly, and feet clattered in a passageway. Bolitho tore his eyes from the anchored ships and crossed to a wall mirror, his mind suddenly very aware of what the next minutes might bring or take away. He still could not get used to his change of appearance. He had never imagined that a uniform would alter a man's outward image so much, yet leave him inwardly the same. Just weeks ago, he had been second lieutenant in the Trojan, an 80-gun ship of the line. For 3 years, he had lived, worked, and nearly died within her crowded hull, rising from his original position of fourth lieutenant by way of one man's death and the promotion of another. He had become used to the Trojan, even though he had had to fight off the yearning to free himself from her ponderous authority, to find more individual scope for his ideas. Like everyone aboard, he had been kept busy enough. With the rebellion in America, every ship of war was needed as never before. As the rebellion grew and spread, and some real hint of its purpose filtered through to the fleet, the Trojan was called from one crisis to another. It seemed incredible that disorganized bands of men could be welded into armies, armies strong and agile enough to outmaneuver some of the best troops from England. But like most of his companions, Bolitho had firmly believed that some sort of compromise would still present itself. That was until 6 months ago in October 1777, when the news of Burgoyne's surrender had burst upon them. Overnight, or so it seemed, the rebellion had developed into a new and bitter conflict. On the one hand, the British with their overstretched resources, and on the other, the armies of the American Revolution, backed as they were by a whole fleet of privateers from France and Spain. No supply ship could sail alone without the real risk of being taken by such privateers. Even troop convoys were not immune from attack. It was in the middle of this new hit-and-run war that Bolitho's own life had changed. Trojan had run down and boarded a prize, a handsome brig off the coast of Puerto Rico, her holds jammed with contraband goods and powder for the Americans.